Last week, Chevron announced it plans to cut around 26% of the jobs in its San Joaquin Valley business unit, the part of the company that produces oil in Kern and Fresno counties. It's not the first oil company to take such moves, and it might not be the last. So what does it mean for the Kern County economy? Joining us now on the phone is Lois Henry. You may remember her byline from the Bakersfield Californian. She's now out of the journalism world, per se, and in the private sector with a group called BizFed, representing local businesses that's launching throughout the valley. Lois, welcome.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Doing good. So I want to talk about BizFed, but I want to talk first about the continued job losses in the energy industry and specifically the oil and gas production industry in Kern County. This comes at the same time as Chevron's running all these commercials and billboards all up and down the valley talking about their employment base. Kind of a bad timing there, I guess, in some way, right?
Well, yeah. Are you talking about the doers do and all that kind of stuff?
Well, they are talking about how they are employing workers in the valley. Is this a sign of things to come?
Well, you know, okay, so I covered the oil industry back in the 90s. I mean, that's how old I am, Joe. That's how far I go back. And you see these kinds of adjustments to the market all the time. And by the way, back in the day, the Kern River crude, the benchmark oil, was at $8 a barrel when I was covering it. So, you know, they were making money even back then and able to employ people. But it's a very cyclical business, depending on the price of oil. So I see this as, I mean, obviously it's terrible. It's a horrible situation for the employees. And we don't like to see those really good paying jobs, you know, leave our community. But we do know that oil is a very cyclical business. It goes up, it goes down. I think I covered it when it was at the lowest point of its trough in terms of prices, you know, back in the 90s. And unfortunately now, I think some of the oil folks who've been commenting in the Bakersfield Californian have said that some of this is not necessarily just the price of oil, because we've seen the price of oil drop, and then it came up a little bit, and then it's been pretty steady for about a year. And I was just at an event where an oil expert was talking and saying they expected it probably not to go to the heights that it had achieved before, but not to drop much lower. So they're adjusting to this new reality. But these oil experts I've been hearing in the Californian being quoted are saying that a lot of this is actually regulatory issues, and it's about not being able to drill, not just for oil, but not being able to drill injection wells. Because, as you know, for every barrel of oil that comes up, you get 9 barrels of water. That's naturally occurring water in the aquifer below. And I'm not talking about a drinking water aquifer. There's been a lot of confusion about that issue. Anyway, that water comes up, and it's filled with, I mean, it's not drinkable. It's filled with, you know, just massive amounts of salts and, you know, who knows, barium, naturally occurring arsenic, et cetera, et cetera. They have to put that water back down into the ground. They used to, by the way, put it into unlined sumps and let it percolate back into the ground and evaporate, and people felt that that wasn't an appropriate way to handle the water. So then they started doing what's known as injection wells, and they've been injecting it back into the aquifer from whence it came. Usually drinking water aquifers are, you know, 300 to 1,200 feet below the surface. These oil-bearing aquifers are usually much, much, much deeper, and they're usually sealed off with permeable layers from the drinking water aquifer. I've done a lot of work on this, thanks to John Cox, our oil reporter, leaving us, so I had to pick up and learn a lot about this stuff. So anyway, that is what a lot of the oil guys are saying here, is that you're having to adjust to you know, a lower price than it was in, say, 2015 when it hit, you know, I think on the West Texas crude was $100 a barrel. And you have to remember that's much lighter crude than is typically mined here. So the prices weren't necessarily $100 a barrel here. But, you know, all boats kind of rise with that tide. So they're dealing with a lesser price, but it's also been a stable price for a long time. But the bigger issue, a lot of the oil guys are saying, is regulatory. And it has to do with those injection wells that have been very political, I think very misunderstood. There's been a lot of hyperbole and a lot of fear thrown around. I tried to cover it as best I could, sort of for myself to understand it. I mean, I'm on a water district out here in Rosedale, and we have a lot of oil wells in the area. And so I wanted to know, you know, just for my own personal safety and my water district safety, what was this all about? What were these aquifers? And when I learned about it, I was much more comfortable about it. But it takes a while to understand it and learn about it, and you have to educate yourself. And anyway, so long-winded answer to your question. I don't know that we're going to see more massive layoffs. I don't think that these cuts are reactionary to the market per se. I think this is a long time coming. I think Chevron itself even said that it had been working on this readjustment for more than a year. And so I think this is a more thoughtful approach to try and rejigger their business model to some of the new realities, including, you know, a lower but somewhat stable price and regulatory realities of what they expect. Because Chevron, I think, was one of the companies that had to shut in a field because of those aquifer exemptions. It wasn't a big deal to them. As I talked to Chevron, it wasn't huge. They weren't getting a lot of oil out of it, and it was kind of an older field anyway. But still, that's kind of a harbinger of things to come, and I think that they're all just sort of adjusting to that. And I don't think it's necessarily a roller coaster, you know, on a downward slide. I think it's just adjusting at this point. But it's a harsh adjustment for those people who've had to deal with it, and obviously for the community, because those are really good paying jobs.
We're talking about the announcement last week that Chevron would be laying off 26% of its local workforce in San Joaquin Valley, with issues of regulation being the forefront here. You know, we often hear criticism from business groups about overregulation in California, but at the same time, Governor Brown has had a pretty close and very involved relationship with the oil industry and Dogger and his leadership of the state agency that oversees that division. He's almost out of office. It's quite likely that the next governor will be perhaps even more regulatory focused when it comes to the energy industry. How should
You're assuming a Republican won't win?
Well, you know,
are you going on record with that, Joe?
Looking at the latest polls and things, it seems like that would be rather unlikely. Given that,
it's going to be a battle of the Dems, probably. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
And given the fact that Brown has been, you know, there are many Democrats who are very strongly feel very strongly that the governor is too close to the oil industry. It's quite likely that regulations will get stiffer in the future. How is the industry going to respond to that?
Well, the industry is going to respond, I think, you've seen it. It's not a mystery here. You know, as you see prices going down, as you see the restrictions like Measure Z in Monterey, the overall sort of restrictions and slowing down of permitting of injection wells. Injection wells are the key to the oil industry at this point, by the way. I mean, really keep your eye on that ball, because that is, if you can't dispose of the water, you can't produce the oil. I mean, that's as simple as that. There's just nothing else you can do. So I think as regulations increase and that restricts the ability of these companies to do business in any kind of fiscal, making any kind of fiscal sense, you're going to see these kinds of reactions to that. And I'm not saying it's all regulations. It's obviously, you know, price per barrel, you know, being going down and then, you know, stabilizing at a lower level has had an impact as well. So you're just going to see this. These companies are just going to have to react by trying to be smaller, more nimble, more flexible, and that means a smaller workforce. And that's just really – that's unfortunate, because these are high-skilled, high-paying, excellent jobs for people in the community, and you can go from being low-skilled, by the way, to being high-skilled in that industry. So they provide a lot of educational opportunities for our community as well. And as you know, workforce development is a big deal here in the Valley. So, not having a crystal ball, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. And it's interesting you mentioned Jerry Brown. He did really ride the rail. A lot of people, I think, on the left think, or in the environmental groups, think he probably was too close to oil. But he was also the guy who put Dogger and the Water Resources Control Department on this aquifer issue, which really, in a lot of people's minds, kind of slowed things down. So now you have two different entities that are two very different regulatory groups, the Water Department, and no slam on them. They were saddled with this at the same time, by the way, that they were also dealing with the drought, and they had to learn whole new language, a whole new regulatory scheme, you know, about this, you know, how aquifers were drilled. And it's very complicated. It's complicated for the Dogger people. So so Jerry Brown was the one that did do that. So he, you know, sort of, he rode the rails, I think. I don't think he was too close to one side or the other when it came to this. I think he was trying to be pragmatic about the fact that we need oil. Our community, our society still operates on oil. Oil is a cheap, reliable, plentiful fuel that keeps our economy going and our people safe, essentially, and it does have a downside with the carbon emissions. So he was trying to ride the rails. I actually had drinks with Jerry Brown a couple of years ago, and I asked him what he thought about the issue of fracking and injection wells and, you know, where he stood on that. And he was, of course, very cagey and very political because he's, you know, he's the governor of the United of California for a reason.
He didn't use any Latin quotes, any quoting Latin authors or anything like that?
No. He, as far as I know, of course, I probably had one more glass of wine than he did. But as I recall, he was very cagey about it. But he said, I just don't know how all of these folks that hate fracking and hate oil are planning to get to work. You know what I mean? He was sort of like, you know, yes, there's an issue here, but there's also a reality that, you know, we don't fuel our vehicles and we don't fuel our homes on rainbows and sunbeams, sunbeams in some cases, but, you know, it's just not, we're not there yet. So we really have to kind of, we have to understand the reality of where we are.
Although
so.
Kern County,
he was a very interesting guy, though.
Yeah, although Kern County is the state's leading renewable energy producer as well these days with solar and wind energy combining. Before we go, Lois, I want to hear more about your new gig with BizFed. We all miss your byline in the Californian, but what's BizFed doing and what do you hope to do there?
Well, BizFed is having two rollout meetings this week. One is tomorrow here in Bakersfield, and the next one is Thursday at the Fresno Chamber of Commerce up in Fresno, your stomping grounds up there, Joe. And anyone who is a business or a business association is invited to attend. It's free of charge, and we provide lunch, so you can learn a lot more about it. But BizFed is a federation of businesses in the Central Valley, businesses and business organizations, and we're organizing to strengthen the voice of business. So say in the issue of the injection wells, if BizFed were up and running, which our launch date is early next year, we would be trying to get the information out about the facts surrounding injection wells so that people didn't have to rely on, you know, some Facebook friend or what have you, and they weren't running around sort of scared with their hair on fire. They could go to our, you know, website. They could learn more about it. We would get information out to businesses, and then we would help our business members approach politicians to help educate them. So it's all about communication, education, and helping businesses in the Central Valley access policymakers so we get our voice heard. Because as you know, the Central Valley has very little political power when it comes to our cousins in the Bay Area and LA. So BizFed is about trying to strengthen the political oomph of the Central Valley using businesses and business associations who have a great deal of expertise in what's happening on the ground and how regulations are affecting us and what it's doing to business and how many people they can employ or how many people they can't employ based on regulations, help get those messages out to the people who can make a difference for us.
Lois,
so that's what it's all about.
Lois Henry with BizFed, launching tomorrow in Bakersfield and later this week in Fresno as well, talking about the energy industry and her new ventures. Now she's moved on from the journalism world. Lois, we miss you, but good to know you're still out there and doing work in the community. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe.